you know, good opportunity for our team this week to improve, you know, kind of look back over the first half of the season and evaluate the things that we're doing well, the things that we're not doing well, try to reinforce the positive things and try to correct some of the things that need correcting and addressing. Also talking about some situational football and, you know, real specific things like that. You know, and give the players a well-deserved break. We've been at it now for, you know, over 3 months straight. 50-some practices, 12 games. So, be a good opportunity for them to, you know, catch their breath a little bit. And then, obviously, Seattle's, we know what kind of team program they have. We know that'll be tough. So, we'll need to have a great week in preparation for them and going forward. So, good opportunity for us to really take advantage of the time, use it efficiently, make our team better, improve, and that's what we're going to try to do.
Well, just to follow up on the trade of Jamie Collins.
Really don't have much to add, Tom. We've already talked about it. Yeah, we felt like it was best for the team, and that's really it.
One related but not specific to Jamie question I wanted to ask was Mike Lombardi. Had some pointed comments about Jamie's effort.
Well, you should ask Mike about whatever Mike said or whatever. I'm sure everybody had something to say, so go talk to them. I don't know.
And you understand the only reason I'm asking that is his history here with the organization, so I didn't know if that was germane at all. The feelings within here about Jamie, so I wanted to get it out there.
I expressed my feelings. I think other coaches have expressed their feelings. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that got an opinion, so go talk to them. I mean, I don't care.
Coach, I'm just fuzzy on why you felt it was best for the team to get rid of him now instead of letting him play out the season and then, you know, for the same compensation roughly, get rid of him or let him go at the end of the year.
Yeah, well, I don't agree with that assessment, but regardless, that's what we did.
Why do you feel like your team, as currently constituted, is well equipped to move on without a player like Jamie, who has played as many snaps as he has for you guys?
Well, again, that's a much longer conversation. I summed it up, and that's the summary of it.
Bill, did the play of the play of Landon and the guys behind Jamie make you feel okay about trading them?
Again, we've already covered it. I mean, it's a bottom line decision. That's what it was. We're not going to talk about the 500 things that could be talked about relative to it. It's just too long, too cumbersome of a conversation.
No. Are you referring to the radio conversation as what you talked about previously?
Yep.
Because, I mean, we got to have a shot at it, too, honestly. I mean, you do it every day. They get you for 20 minutes on it. You know, Monday. So it's.
Right, I understand that. Look, the transcript's the transcript, Tom. I mean, it is what it is. I'll restate it. I mean, let's read the transcript. We can restate it if that's what you want to do. Nothing's happened between Monday and Wednesday morning.
Right. We do a good job asking our own questions.
Absolutely. Well, I'm telling you the same thing I said on Monday. Nothing's changed.
But when it comes to coaching players that are instinctive, and you talk about instincts, whether it's your own players or other players that you're about to face quite frequently in teams, how do you balance, for your own guys, allowing them to play with their instincts versus having them play within the construct of the defense that you want them to play, the scheme that you guys are coaching?
I mean, I've coached every player I've ever coached the same way. So, you have an assignment, you have something that you're responsible for, and then the instincts come after that. As long as you cover your guy, that's your job. You want to cover him off, you want to cover him on, inside technique, outside technique, back pedal, squat, whatever. I mean, there's a million different ways to do it. If you have him covered, I'm going to be happy about it. You're going to be happy about it. Right? So that's the bottom line. after that, then there's an instinctive part to every play. So I've coached players, that's the way I've coached my whole career. As a special teams coach, I had different punters, different kickers, they don't all kick it the same way. If they kick it far, they kick it high. I'm happy, they're happy, the team's happy, that's good. If they don't, then got to try to find a better way to do it. So I don't see it any differently now than I saw it when I started coaching. I don't see it really much differently from one position to another. The techniques are different, the assignments are different, but player's instinct and style of play, that belongs to each of us. We're all different. But there are certain fundamentals that I think, you know, as a coach, you are obligated to teach the best way that you know how and work with individual players within that framework.
Bill, when did you come to the realization or that Malcolm Butler was a quote-unquote number one corner or a guy you could match up with Antonio Brown, that he had those skills?
Well, at the start of the season last year, the players that we had on our roster, and that was the opening game, that's the way it went for that game. Had there been a different game, had it been a different, you know, I don't know. So I mean, if that's what you're referring to, then that was, you know, those are the circumstances we're presented with. We did what we thought was best for that, the opening game against Pittsburgh in 2015.
But did you, that offseason, you obviously let a lot of talent go, veteran players that were ahead of him really sort of changed the dynamic at corner. Did you know that?
There's changes on every team. I mean, there's changes in this league and every team in free agency. Let's don't act like free agency never happened before.
No, but did you know you had a guy that was a you know, everybody looks at the Super Bowl interception, and you had a whole year to build on.
Yeah, I think we all talked about ad nauseum the usual, with most players, that jump between their first year and the second year. Not with every player, but with most players. So he would fall into that category, as would, I would say, nearly every other player that I've coached. Not all, but most every other player that I've coached. There's a jump from year one to year two. What does that make him? What is his role? What's, you know, I mean, all that is to be determined. But you take a player like Shane Vereen, who I would say made a jump from year one to year two. You probably wouldn't think so because it doesn't show up on the stat sheet. It did show up in his production. That didn't show up until year three, but actually there was a lot of growth in the player from year one to year two. It wasn't as evident. But by year three, it was evident. So maybe it's year one to two, maybe it's year two to three, maybe it's year one to three, however you want to look at it. But there's a growth period in there for most players. Not all.
Bill, I think that since Michael Lombardi worked here the last 2 years, a lot of people take his views as being those reflected by...
Look, Mike's one of the smartest people that I know. He's one of the smartest people I've worked with. And he was a huge asset to me for the 2 years that he was here. So Mike's a smart guy, and he studies football, and he knows it very well. I would say on probably all teams.
Would you say that his
view... So you talk to Mike. I mean...
Bill, what's the fine line during the bye week? Obviously, you're self-scouting and doing all of that, but for the coaching staff, per se, between we got to coach better or maybe we got to consider changes. And I'm curious to see. I mean, this comes right at the midway point of the year.
Yeah, look, you have to answer that question every week, not just the bye week. And you do something that doesn't work out well, so what are your options? Get rid of it or continue to do it and see if you can improve it? And that's the judgment you make. You really feel convicted that you can do it well, then you put more resources into it and try to improve it. At some point, if it doesn't go well, you might decide that we've tried, we've invested a lot of time, we've invested whatever we have to invest in this, and it's still not working. Maybe it's time to move on to something else. And then they just have to make that decision. I can't sit here and tell you, you know, what the book on that is. I think you evaluate each one individually, but that's what coaches do. That's what we do. We evaluate it. We look at it. And maybe there's a difference of opinion in the room, you know, on a staff. Of like, you know, look, I still think we can do it. If we just work harder on it, versus we put a lot into it. You know, let's do something else. This just, we seem to be on a dead end here. Well, for whatever the reasons are, and there could be a multitude of reasons, that's a whole nother conversation. But, you know, in the end, you have to make that decision. So that's, it's a bi-week decision, but it's a weekly decision too. You just have to decide, you know, how, what direction you want to go. And so, you know, I think in a lot of cases you can improve things. Some teams, that's just not their thing. You have to find something else. And that's, but that's true in every season. You know, each year, I think you have to find a little bit of a different way to win. You know, you can't do everything exactly the same way you did the previous year. Your team's changed, and the teams that you're playing may have changed, or you may be playing different teams. And maybe that, you know, dictates that you do something a little differently than you did in the past against a different set of opponents. So that's, those are the judgments that the head coach, the coordinators, and the position coaches make, whether it's a overall scheme thing or whether it's an individual technique thing. It could be a technique thing too. Like, look, here's the way we're doing this technique, but it's not as effective for us as we want it to be. Do we keep working on it, or do we modify the technique and do something a little bit different for whatever the reasons are, our players, their scheme, whatever it happens to be.
Based on your experience, are you more likely to stick with what you're doing mid-season?
It just depends. I mean, we've done both. We've gotten to points. Again, it's not even a mid-season. It is a mid-season conversation, but it could be any time, really, and just say, look, I'm done with this. We're, you know, I've said that before. Like, I've seen enough. I'm done with it. We're going to do something else. We've tried. It just didn't work. Or, you know, I believe in it. We should be better at it than we are. It's maybe circumstances why we don't have production, or it's, you know, eight guys are good, one guy's bad. Next time it's eight guys are good, it's a different guy. It doesn't, you know, and just if we just get this right, we'll be okay, but we just haven't been able to do it. Well, maybe you keep trying.
Coach, a lot of times when a move is made that people may not understand, I hear a lot of, in Bill we trust. Do you think that slogan is just flat out awesome?
I really don't pay too much attention to what's out there on the outside. I try to focus on the team and do what's best for the team. And that's what drives me, is to make the best decisions I can for this football team, the organization, ownership, the Kraft family. That's what I try to do. There's no way I could keep everybody happy anyway, so just do the best I can.
To kind of follow that up, Bill, is it from the sense of, you know, you've shown a strong affinity for guys like Lawyer, Ricky Seymour, that have been here, but you've had to make the decision to move on. Does it take weeks, months for you to determine in your mind, or do you just wake up one day and say, you know what, this is best for the team, it's time to move on?
Well, I don't really think impulsive decisions are the way to go on anything, so. Sometimes you have to make quick decisions, like in games and things like that, where you have a very short amount of time to figure it out and do something. When you have to do that, you have to do it. When you don't have to do it, then I don't think that's necessarily the way to go. But there are times when you have to make a quick decision. You're on the clock in the draft, you gotta pick a guy, trade the pick, you know, whatever. Then clock's running, you gotta get it done by the time the clock runs out. So those situations are one thing. I think most other situations don't fall into that category, but there are some that do when that happens, and that's what you have to do.
Regarding moves like Roy or Seymour, even this one with Jamie, how much into account do you take, look, this is going to be an emotional decision for some of the players who've played alongside him and who have friendships built with him? I have to allow for that, but also allow for the football aspect.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, that's part of this business, and you know, sure, a lot of you don't want to take into consideration other moves that are made on the roster, but they affect everybody. So might be a guy that, you know, isn't a big guy on your radar, but to his roommate or to a teammate who's very close to him, it is a big move. And so I recognize that. I understand that. I appreciate that. But again, in the end, my responsibility is to the football team. It's not to an individual player. So I make the decision that I make based on what I feel like is best for the team. It's not a personal decision. It's a team decision. If it was a personal decision, there'd be a lot of decisions that were different, but I just don't think that's not my job, my obligations to all the players, not just to a single individual. And I know you want to focus on, you know, the bigger names, if you will, which is fine. I understand that. But all the players on the team were important to me. They're important to their teammates. They're important to the organization. And anything that affects any individual on the team is important, not just to three or four that we want to single out because of whatever their star power is. Not minimizing that, but things affect all the players on the team, not just, you know, a few names that are mentioned.
It's not just to me who the guys are friends with, but I've seen just a reverence for the ability of Jamie over the years that would make other players go, whoa. And this is an exceptional player, so I think there's a level with that player as opposed to somebody released off the practice squad that has a larger ripple effect. That's why. It's on a couple different levels.
Well, again, I think all the players are important.
Bill, how important is this couple of days to reset for you?
Well, again, it's an opportunity to, you know, use the time that we have available as efficiently, productively as we can. So that's what we'll try to do individually as a coaching staff. There are things that if we can get ahead on that would help us, then great. We'll try to do that.
I mean, I guess I was getting more personally for you to get, you know, reset yourself mentally.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's an opportunity for all of us to, you know, get a little rest. Again, get caught up on some things that, you know, we all need to get caught up on, whether it be in our personal lives or, you know, moving forward into, you know, the November, December, second half of the season, whether it's Seattle, the next game on the schedule. You know, there are a lot of different things that can be addressed that can be helpful moving forward.
Just to follow up with Mike's question, obviously decompressing is important. What would help you decompress more, sneaking off to the vacation home, playing in a moth lacrosse tournament, or just spending the weekend at Gronk's house?
That'd be a three-way tie. Is three good options. It's a really well-thought-out question. I appreciate it.
How would you assess the linebacker play as a whole over the first half of the season, and what do you want to see from that unit going forward?
I mean, again, I think our entire team is kind of falls into the same category. You know, we've done some things well. There's some things we can improve on. That goes for each one of us individually, every coach, every player, and every unit. So the things that are good are good. There are certainly things that could be better from all of us and from all the groups, and that's what we're working on. I wouldn't single out one group as being dramatically different from that evaluation. Had some success. Things we can do better.
With a move like this, the issue that it seems like the fans wrestle with is how is the team better today than it was yesterday? Is there something you could say that might help them understand the answer to that question?
It's my professional judgment. All right. Thank you. All right. Have a good weekend. Yep.
You too.